Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Yes, welcome to our Euro 2020 preview show. By the way, have you heard who the headline sponsor is?
Yeah.
Drum roll, please. Grosvenor Sport.
Yes. Super.
Well, another big name on open goal.
Massive.
Biggest casino in the world, innit?
I think so, huh? I would say so. You've had a few good nights in there, the one down at the riverboat.
I've got 100% record at the casinos.
What with?
Taking a bird team every time after.
Oh, you've got that's a special so offer as well. Make sure you bet with Grosvenor Sport for the Euros. Scotland to qualify has been boosted from evens to 5-1.
What?
So, have you put 50 quid on it, Paul? How much do you get back?
£500.
Thick as fuck, honestly.
Is it not?
300. That's including your 50 back.
Yeah, good.
Scotland's qualifying all day long for that group. Mickey Mouse group, as I call it.
So, we've just been informed Scotland only need to win one game. Where do you see them winning that? What game would it be? England, innit?
Wembley, innit?
Easy.
Easy peasy.
Is that the easiest game Scotland's got in the group?
Scotland are one of the favourites, obviously, in the tournament. So, when they play Croatia and Czech, the pressure's on Scotland. V England, they maybe know. So sit in, England will crumble, and then Scotland take it. Do you know what I mean?
It's only 2 days away. How excited things kicking off right there. Look at that.
I feel a wee bit nervous now, by the way.
What about the shows?
No, the special guest coming on.
Oh, do you, aye?
He's eyeballing us, isn't he?
But before we get the special guest on, we do need to say commiserations to his Swansea side that got beaten in the final.
Mate, that's one of the worst you've done, by the way. People are sending me his picture every fucking show now.
He is your double.
No, he's not. That's a short.
Right, Scotland v England. Now, we're balanced with Scotland balanced, so we need to get somebody else on for an English perspective. A guy that's gave Scotland a bit.
Controversial guy. Very horny controversial guy, isn't he? He's very horny.
Do you think
horny?
He's horny?
Oh, he's a horny guy. I can see he's stunning earlier than
now. Here he comes.
The one and only.
Who slaughtered Scottish football a few times. So here he comes, Jamie O'Hara. What's happening, young man? How are you?
How are we, lads?
Are you good?
I'm all right.
How are we? You're looking great.
Well, yeah.
Not as good as me, but you're looking great.
Well, I was looking at them New Balance trainers, thinking that maybe Adidas and Nike ain't got up here yet. You know?
It was Nick Clover's worst. Mine's at Brazil. Mine are on Brazil.
Oh, it's tight. It's tight.
What's
tight?
I mean,
tight you wear New Balance.
It was nice, though, Jimmy, that you apologised for your comments, wasn't it, before the show started, on your comments from Scotland?
Well,
Scottish game. It was nice you apologised, wasn't it, Sam?
Well, I felt like I had to, because I was coming up here with three, you know, Scottish lads. You got a great podcast. I thought, I'm going to have to apologise early. And then when we're live, I'll obviously...
Change your mind again.
Tell you how I really feel about the Farmers League.
Wow. Paul, didn't I let him get away with that?
Well, listen, Simon, you see it. Andy Robertson came for that league. Kieran Tierney, best two left-backs in the league. Correct?
Best two left-backs you've ever had.
Correct.
The only two decent left-backs you've ever had.
But also, every player that goes down there also ends up being the best player in their team. So John McGinn's probably Villa's best player.
Yeah. John McGinn is a top player.
Yeah.
A top player.
Scott McTominay, best player in Man United.
You said to me 2 minutes ago that Scott McTominay starts for England.
100%.
I mean, that is a disgrace.
Well, do you think he's better than Declan Rice?
Come out with that statement.
Did you see the Europa League final?
Sums up why your podcast is in Scotland.
Jamie boy, did you see the Europa League final?
Good point,
yeah.
Paul.
Who was Man United's best player? The highest stage of that Man United season?
Cavani.
My arse.
He was.
Bert McTominay.
McTominay, look, he's a good player.
Very good.
I like him. I'm not disrespecting him, but come on, he doesn't get in England's team.
Right, look at us.
Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice.
Talk about Calvin Phillips starting. Fuck me.
I don't think Calvin Phillips should start for England. No. I don't think he should go. I don't think he should be.
Do you know
that?
No.
Has he gone? Has he been picked to go?
But look at this midfield free, Kev, right? McTominay, Gilmore, McGinn. That's better than Rice, Henderson, Man United and Bellingham. Come on, Jamie.
Billy Gilmore doesn't even get in Chelsea's squad.
Champions League winners, though.
He's playing in he's a reserve team player. He's playing in the under-23 league. Are you telling me he starts for England?
See, that three, that three you've just mentioned there, mate, starts for Man United.
I agree.
100%.
Yeah, better than Fred.
McGinn's gone.
Like that's a decent three.
I think McGinn would be a great signing for Man United. Yeah. I think he's a top player. Top player. Wait, Scotland, I mean, qualifying for the Euros, normally for a few years, they were kind of just non-existent, weren't they? Like, they were just nowhere near it. Yeah. But actually now, you look at the team and I think, it's a good side.
Yeah.
We've got a proper team.
You worried?
Nah, I'm not worried.
Are you not?
I think the pressure's on England, right? The pressure's on England. But you've only got to get three. With the third team that comes through, that gets through, you basically got to win
Jamie,
one game.
Jamie, why is it that, I'm not going to say he's a typical English fan, but why is it that all English
like that
fans
arrogant
towards how good their side is when they've done done jack shit?
Oh, Kevin Kyle, wow. Superb big man.
Who's put 10 pence in him?
Hold on. I know, but I've got to be honest, because he's blow your trumpet every year. And then you say he unblow the trumpet heading home every year.
He blows the trumpet every year.
Only in Ibiza. No, look, I mean,
you agree with me. You've got, there's a point to that.
Is in England?
As in England, like, you do get overexcited by
I don't think we did.
You do.
Leading into the World Cup, I think everyone had kind of.
Possibly last year was the best. The first
we got
year.
To the semi final of the World Cup, how can you not?
No, that was. And I'm not just saying this because of Scottish English. I don't want this to sound like that because I hate that. Do you know what I mean? Scottish guys, Scotland, England. That run to the World Cup was nothing short of an embarrassment.
Who did they play Dagenham? They played Dagenham and Redbridge.
Aye,
Billericay.
Seriously though, would you admit that?
Yeah, but we played you in the qualifiers, didn't we, Billericay? It knocked you out.
No, but do you know what I mean with that World Cup? I think that's a wee bit false for England to say that because they
went. No, it was an easy run, but you still got to go and do it. You still got to go and win it. You still got to go there and get results.
The scrape by the Colombia penalties. Sweden, us three would have beat that.
We'd have beat Sweden,
and then Croatia, England should be beating Croatia.
Yeah,
you understand me?
No, they should have won the game. But Croatia were a good side. Modric is unbelievable. But I think if you're going into the Euros now with this group, I think the pressure's on England. Before in the World Cup, England didn't have pressure. You know, they wasn't worried about it. They was going in as sort of underdogs. It was a young squad. Go in, enjoy yourselves, see what we do.
Yeah.
And we done great. The problem we've got now is, one, Scotland's in your group, so that's massive, straight away pressure. And two, all these players now have come to the fore as top players and they've got to produce in a big moment, you know. So Southgate's got to manage that carefully.
But we've always seen here, Gareth Southgate would rather win the fair play award than actually win the tournament.
I think he's got something. No, I think he's got something about him. He's quiet. You know, it's not. You know, you're very much sort of like you're loud, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're very loud.
Yeah.
But England are more sort of just do it by the book, do it properly.
But he was last pick in school every time Gareth Southgate, wasn't he?
I was.
And loved it as well.
He was.
And loved being last pick, didn't he?
Said fine.
He was a top player. He was a great.
But see, I don't want to keep banging on about that. But back onto Big Kevin's point about the media. I think, from Scottish point of view, that's why you want England to get put out because of the way the media talk about them. The players are fine.
Yeah.
It's immediately.
Okay, nothing against the group of players. And that I think at some point that group do deserve a bit of success. I think there's a big opportunity for them. Gareth Southgate, I do like, played against him, had a chat with him a few times. Great guy.
What did you chat about? What did you and Gareth Southgate talk about?
There's never been a chat.
What did you chat about? Come on then.
We just chatted about how happy he was to see me resume my career after being injured for 18 months.
Oh, did he?
What was he doing? Right, was he cleaning his boots or something?
Mate, his win was playing in the Premier League.
Kevin, don't.
No, we played in the Premier League a few times, so it was just a room at that time. Obviously, these two don't understand that, Jamie. But anyway.
Champions League.
Champions League.
That's Celtic.
Yeah.
Is Spurs the biggest club you've played with?
Yeah, Spurs, yeah.
So that means I played for Celtic for 15 minutes, one appearance. But in that 15 minutes, it's more pressure than you ever felt in your playing career.
What, because it was Champions League?
Champions League.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But great 15 point, minutes, you had 15 minutes of fame.
15 minutes.
Oh, no, like, you had a weekend of fame in Amsterdam.
What happened?
He played in the Europa League at 16.
Which means you get in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Can't get any better.
You can't get any better.
I think you chucked it.
Yeah,
but what age was the Europa League?
16. Done that then.
I mean, you don't look like a footballer.
Don't be saying that, cheeky bastard.
Do you know, like...
Cheers, how nice are these shoes, though?
I'd buy them for my missus.
What, the New Balance?
what are they?
A cheeky bastard, isn't it?
Love it. Is this England's best opportunity then? A long time?
Oh, God. Best opportunity in a long time. I would say no, because I think we should have won something before, like Euro 96. Mm. I think we had a great team. Yeah, like we had that golden generation. Yeah. I think this is a chance for us to go the distance with it obviously being at Wembley. But I still think there's still a young squad. And if I look at the players at the minute that some of them have dropped out of form. That's what makes me a little bit worried, you know. Rashford. Like Sterling's dropped off, Rashford's dropped off, Grealish has been injured. You know, Harry Kane's been injured. He's come back. He wants out. So where's his headspace? You know, Maguire's injured. Doubtful. John Stones was poor in the last month. So I don't know if we're going into the tournament with sort of real informed players.
Who would you start, mate? if you get through, like because you might rotate it, but for your bigger games,
the big game against the starting game against Scotland. Croatia.
Well, that's a big game.
No, Croatia's the big game. Scotland's like you play the B team, right? You rest up. You rest up for that one, right? Yeah, you play like Bellingham and. Bring in a couple of 23s.
Southgate probably played himself.
Yeah. Put Southgate in. No, I mean, for Croatia, I would start Pickford. I would start Chilwell. If Maguire's fit, I'd start Maguire. I'd start Stones, but I think he needs to, I don't know, I'm a bit worried about him. Yeah, he needs to liven up a bit. Watching the Champions League final the other night, I thought Reece James was unbelievable. But I still think Kyle Walker, with big game experience, World Cups, he's been there, so I'd start him.
So you're going four at the back?
I'd play. Oh, you've got to play four at the back.
But Southgate doesn't.
All this three at the back nonsense. Like,
but look, that nonsense. Chelsea have just won a Champions League. We three at the back.
Yeah, point. But
and
yeah,
won a Champions League.
Yeah, but not for England though.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, for England, it's. I mean, I played three at the back when I was a manager. I loved the formation, but with England's players and the players that we've got, with the power that we possess up front. I think you're hurting the team playing three at the back.
But do you know, I honestly think when you've got as strong as right backs as you have, that if you play Walker as the third centre half, Reece James can play, and then it fits the two of them.
Well, I think he potentially will do that as well. Yeah. I think looking at the way Maguire's not fit and John Stones' form, I think he might play three at the back, and I think he'll play Kyle Walker in a back three and play Reece James. But I would play one sitting. I would play Declan Rice holding. I would play Foden. And Mount.
Mount's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Foden
centre-mid?
Yeah.
Foden centre-mid with Mount. I'll play Rashford, Sancho and Harry Kane.
Some team in it when you put it like
that. I mean, it's a great side. But Southgate won't do that because he's more defensive-minded, isn't he? He's more... is different. It's possession-based.
I can't believe you played Rashford there. But I love Rashford as a guy, but no his form.
Are you worried about Stephen O'Donnell?
Stephen O'Donnell? Is he joking?
Daniel O'Donnell's ball.
I swear I played with a Stephen O'Donnell when I was a kid. He was a good player.
No, left footer. He was a good player.
He was a good player.
Yeah, yeah. He was at Arsenal as a kid, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I remember him. Are you worried about Scotland? How much do you know about them?
Well, I know you've got two good left backs.
They just aren't.
Yeah, they're definitely... I mean, you changed your
whole... Well, one's a left centre back now. Tierney's a left centre back.
Your whole philosophy of Scotland.
No chance.
But so
you
have
changed
England.
Everything.
So have England.
Just
England have done the same with Walker.
Tierney and Robertson.
So have England with Walker and James.
Yeah, Simon, superb.
No, that's not true.
That is true.
No, it's just that's Gareth Southgate's chosen formation. He likes that. You've changed your whole team just to play Tierney and Robertson.
No, but Tierney plays there for Arsenal as well, left centre back, didn't he?
I mean,
he's unbelievable.
Good,
I mean,
he's the best in England defender.
Best left.
Left back.
Nah, he's not.
Who's better? Chilwell's better than him. No way.
Oh, I mean, I think Luke Shaw's better than him. No. Luke Shaw and Chilwell are in front of him right now.
Cut this.
Where's my cab?
No.
Sweeney, does Scotland need to beat Czechs? First game. Well, that's a game you're looking at.
Are you ready for, you three don't know this. This is unbelievable. You don't want to win the group.
Because of who you're going to get next.
The team that win the group play the group France, Portugal and Germany.
Right.
So if you finish second, you get the easier run. So what England done the last World Cup...
So you're already making excuses for finishing third?
Well, we are going to finish second. We want to finish second. Right. Because England last World Cup bottled it v Belgium but wanted to get beat so they get the easy run. And this is going to be the same again. You don't want to finish first because you're going to get, as I said, Portugal, France or Germany.
Yeah.
So
I can't... Do you think England will be going out to finish second?
I think so, mate, because I think England go out if they finish the group top. I think
one of the other next game.
I really do. I think Portugal, Germany.
Yeah, but you can't go into a tournament thinking let's try and lose this one so we finish second. Like
you've got to
win your games. It's simple as that.
But I think that one of the. Do you think that they'll knock out Portugal, France, or Germany the next round? No way.
You've got to beat the best to win the tournament. It's simple as that.
But England's not going to do that. They're not going to beat the best because when they come against the best, they don't.
Perform.
Almost as if they act like a smaller club, a smaller nation, and retreat. I feel in the bigger games. Do you know what I mean? I think you've got the players there. Go and express yourself and play.
So, what do you blame Southgate for it? That he goes too defensive against the bigger teams.
I think so, mate. I think last.
It's hard to disagree with him on that. Do you know what I mean? As much as I want to, because
you two are actually getting on better than I thought.
We know stuff, don't we? We're proper players.
Proper Champions League players.
You're meant to come on and kill him. Now you're his best mate. That's always happens, mate.
You just got to sort the clobber out.
Do you know what happened to that, no?
Well, I mean...
Yeah, we're doing a wee bit in the Euros together, Zoom calls and all that.
Are we?
Naked Zoom calls.
I really hope that you can get... There's a nice shop over there, actually. I see it when I got here.
Kev, you are getting a little better naked at Italy? Toss that point,
isn't it? No, it's bad. Both.
It's bad, I
back in
what.
The day, I mean, no, it was no question.
So,
what do you think is similar between the two of them?
Similar?
Aye, they're similar. They're
horniness.
I'm old now. That's gone. No, I mean, back in the day.
So you're backing after the horny chat, aren't you? You don't like that?
What?
Getting called horny.
Horny?
Aye.
Slaney's going to rock up next week. The show's with new tattoos, isn't he?
Yeah.
He wants to be Jamie O'Hara, doesn't he?
Well, listen, this is getting...
Do you got any tattoos?
I mean, just there, off my ass.
Flag tag.
What you got? You haven't.
Butterfly. He's got a butterfly in his lower back.
We are all,
you've got a tramp stamp. You've got a tramp stamp.
Listen, this is going to be a bit too fucking nice, this show. Oh, I want to go back to heated.
Right, well, Scotland-England game, Kev, what are you expecting for it? This will get it going again.
I think Scotland will sit in and frustrate England, and it's up to England to break them down a bit of quality. But the Scotland, like, we are going to this European Championships for the first time in a long time. And we've actually, like, when you said that midfield three of McGinn, McTominay, Gilmore, that won't happen. But it actually gets you quite excited thinking if that did happen. So if you had them three and you put Robertson on the left, maybe Fraser on the right, back three, Che Adams and maybe somebody playing off of him, it looks not a bad side. And you think that could cause England problems at some point because...
It's like, a championship team, isn't it?
Championship
every single one of the players he just mentioned plays in the Premier League.
Well, championship teams do.
But it's like, you know, like when you put a team together... You look at it and you go, you know, like, you know, on like FIFA, you get a rate, you put that team together, you'd get like a free rating, wouldn't you? You know, yeah. You know, like, it's like a free star rating.
I think that team's more
it's a good team, but none of them
that
are.
That wins the Premier League, that
none
team.
Of them are that their best the players. None of them are the best players in their teams.
Tierney's the best player at Arsenal.
No, I disagree with that. Robertson has been Liverpool's best player this year. He's the only guy that's played every game.
Salah's one of the top scorers in the league, finished second.
Yeah, but he gets dropped all the time. Robertson never dropped Klopp, plays
because he's
game.
Got no one else. He's got Brahim.
Yeah, you would. Tierney is Arsenal's best player this season. My God, Arsenal fans are fucking crying out for him, aren't they?
Yeah.
McTominay's been Man U's best midfielder.
Aye.
McGinn.
Best midfielder. I'm going to let you try again.
So who's been their best midfielder?
He's going to say Fernandes. But
Fernandes plays off the front. He's not a midfielder.
No.
What do you mean? What is that role then?
He's a 10.
So what's that?
That's in between midfielder and attack.
No, that's a midfielder.
McGinn's Bruno Aston Villa's best midfielder.
Who?
McGinn's been Aston Villa's best midfielder.
What about Jack Grealish?
He's been injured half the time, isn't he?
Not interested.
Shat it.
Not interested.
Jack Grealish is Aston Villa's best player. That's the thing, right? Scotland have got a good team. Solid team. On paper, you get, you know, as you said, cause problems. It's not England, is it? They're a champ. It's a championship team put together, and they're a decent
Scotland
side.
Scotland will be England.
You know, they're like Norwich.
They're like Norwich.
To be fair, the last time we beat
them, they are, aren't they?
They are.
If England turn up, we beat you 4-5.
But we should have beat you
the
last
game.
Time.
Last time we had a worst team. We probably had a better team the last game. It finished 2-2, and we were 2-1 up.
Yeah, Yeah, but we were bothered though, weren't we? Was it? It was enough.
Gary Neville was fucking. Gary Neville was greeting in the commentary box, wasn't he?
Shot his load when Griffiths scored.
You know, like, it's not a big moment, is
but
it?
I think this
big moments, England turn over Scotland, simple as.
But this is what I'm saying, this is what I'm talking about the media.
Every time. There's an throughout history.
What moments are you talking? Maybe he's at the last game at Wembley. Well, no, Don Hutchison.
I take that.
In your last game at Wembley.
There you go.
Biggest Billied. Moment of your.
Was that Billied. A big game? But was that a big game, though?
It was a qualifier.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
We'll turn up. I just
instantly go back to, you know, Gaza over Colin Hendry, Bosh. See you later.
But even that game, we missed a penalty.
Penalty, exactly,
and
Kevin.
We made an unbelievable save. Yeah, we could have won that game as well.
You bottled it.
I don't think England. I really don't think England are.
I mean, you're just surprised to even be in the Euros. Look at you. Look, you're building stadiums and everything to get people here. Like, these have been up for 20 years in England. Like, this is just normal. Like, you are all excited about this. Like, it's like, you can't even believe that this has happened. You're like, how are we here?
Yeah, cut that.
Do you know what I mean?
Cut that.
You're like Spurs in the Champions League final. Like, how have we made it this far?
Oh, brilliant. What can you say?
No, listen,
just
say
that's...
I would cut that bit.
Right, so what we're saying was, we'll give us the outcome of the Scotland-England game and then give us an outcome of the group. Who's want to go first? Who's putting
the
balls on the line?
I'll go Scotland-England draw, 0-0, and Scotland miss out. They'll have a win and a draw, but they'll miss out.
That'll get
ball.
Them through.
No, because we did it back in, three teams go through.
If you win a game, you're going through.
Right, yeah. So you're saying Scotland finished third in the group.
Scotland finished third, a win and a draw and they get beat by...
And who's winning the group?
I think Croatia.
Wow.
I think England win the group. I think Scotland qualify. England will be out in the next round. That clip right there, that'll get played back as soon as they get put out. There you go.
Think that'll go viral?
Aye. But some third teams can actually.
So how does the third teams get through? Is it highest points in third?
I don't know, but
it's like
the Europa Conference League. Do you know what I mean? If you finish third, you should go into a different competition altogether.
Just play
the European Championship Conference.
Like a total cup?
Yeah, like the Wembley Cup that you paid.
That we beat you. You never knew that, did you? Old Celtic beat Spurs at the Wembley Cup.
Not a problem for you, sir.
Barca as well.
Friendly.
Paul, prediction Scotland England?
1-1. I do think so. I think Scotland will get a goal. They'll make it hard, make it stuffy. Southgate's not interested in that.
Stuffy? What's stuffy mean?
Ask him.
What's stuffy mean?
Don't know. I could go be cigar on you, could you? You get any cigars on you?
It's like stuffy. So I'm going to use that
cigar?
One.
What do you think, Si?
I think England will beat Scotland.
Right.
Oh, Simon, don't.
I'm sorry, I need to be totally honest. I would say that England should
be beating Scotland, but I've got this obviously fairy tale in my head that I think that Scotland might get
but
a point.
I think Scotland will still go through in third place, but so? I do think England at Wembley,
it's
going to be a tough game for Scotland.
It's a tough game, right? The pressure's on England. Scotland go into that game, you know, underdogs, bit like the Champions League final, right? They go into that Chelsea, underdogs, make it difficult, and, you know, England could be nervous, but if the right team turn up and he picks the right players for that game, it should be comfortable.
Aye, if England turn up and get it going, it could be a lot. They could score a
couple of years ago, I'd say it'd be like 4-5. Not now.
But I don't know. So what's your prediction? Are you going to give us a prediction or what?
I would say 8-0 England. No, I reckon I can see you scoring. I'd say 3-1 England.
There we go.
I think we beat Croatia.
Is Croatia the same team as
I think
as
we beat Scotland and then we play reserves.
For the rest of it?
Against the Czech Republic.
I don't think Croatia are the same team now as our last tournament. Well,
They've aged, didn't they? You played with Modric, didn't you? Was he unbelievable?
He was a joke.
Was he the best? Because that was some teammate, wasn't
it? Him and Berbatov, yeah. I mean, I was lucky at Spurs. I played in it. I was lucky to get through in a great side. Berbatov.
So did you clean their boots, huh?
No, I actually cleaned Glenn Hoddle's boots.
Wow.
Yeah.
My God.
And I was very happy to do that.
That's been out of the game, mate. He was
a proper legend. Ah. It's out of the game, though. I think it's a joke. It should be in the game. I'm still a bit old school, though.
He's probably one of the only commentators from the old era.
Too flaky now, isn't it?
When he talks, he sounds very modern still. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He was an old player in the 80s and 70s, but when he talks the modern game, he's right up to
speed
with
it.
He just knows the
game. The annoying thing is when Ian Wright calls him gaffer every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I remember when I turned up and he was the gaffer, and I trained with the first team when I first went to Spurs, and It was unbelievable. Like, there was like Rebroff there, Jamie Redknapp, you know, top players, a good side. And Hoddle was the gaffer. He played in the seven aside because there wasn't enough players. So the gaffer put a bib on.
Best player.
He was the best player on the pitch. He was the best player on the team. Wow. He hit a volley from about 30 yards out, like where he's just like, you know, like where he's just levitating off the floor into the top corner. I was like, it's the gaffer.
Wow.
He was unbelievable. Like, he was the best player on the pitch.
More importantly, what was Jamie Redknapp like with his clothes off?
He's gorgeous. He's a good looking man. He's a good looking man.
Wow.
See, that Spurs team with Bale, that was Modric, would he even stand out more than Bale?
No, Modric was on another level. Bale, I mean, when I was, Bale was in and out of it. He wasn't, could never see like him becoming what he become. Like, he was obviously a left back and he was athletic. I couldn't see him becoming like a right winger, like striker. You know, I just never really, really saw that. He was sort of quite, he was quiet and he was going for a bit of a bad time with injuries, but I could never ever see how he become so good. Modric was just in training every day. You couldn't get a ball off him. Berbatov as well. I mean, Berbatov, I was a young lad, so I was hungry. You know, I'm busy. I was a busy little prick.
You look like you're hungry now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always hungry now, but I was fit and hungry.
Wait, Mac, how are you taking
that? Yeah, I'm happy taking it behind me. Look at them, look. Milk bottles
out. Yeah, you should have seen me. But yeah, 6 months ago.
Yeah, Berbatov was just, he was a joke. Like, he was so good. He was an arrogant.
Give us a couple of shouts out of big time shouts there.
Yeah, he was an arrogant prick.
Was he?
Yeah, he really was. He wouldn't shake your hand. He wouldn't say morning to you. You walk past him, he just kind of bombed you. I never really, really spoke. He was above you, you know?
That's what he does on here.
Yeah, well, I've got that impression. Uh-huh. But I used to like try and say, and I remember playing once, I was a young kid. I always wanted to get on the ball and, you know, make myself heard and I was fit. And I remember Berbatov got the ball once in the middle of the park and someone passed it to him. I've made a run behind him, like an overlap. And I've screamed, Berba, like, put me in. And he hasn't even looked and he's hit one with the outside of his boot. Right footed, like, I mean, like 60 yards to my toe where I've just tapped it in. And I walked back and he come jogging over. I thought he was going to say, oh, great run, like, shake my hand, well done. He walked over and said, hey, you don't need to talk. I can see you, huh? I was like, okay, Berber.
I love that.
Yeah, I was like, you mug. When I got old, I thought, you mug.
So if he was a prick, who was top man?
Robbie Keane was top man.
Was he?
Top draw. Like,
him and Robbie Keane signed for Celtic on the same day.
Really? Yeah. And look at his career compared to yours.
I've sold it at Hydro.
I love Keane. Was like absolute legend. He looked after me. He digged me out when I needed digging out.
Why would he dig you out?
Well, he would just be like, what are you? He was always 100% in training. You obviously, you know, played with him, and well, you probably didn't play.
He didn't train.
He was in the reserves.
He was on the resis.
I trained with him, but he never trained. Just to go back to Spurs. Were you there when he came to Celtic?
On loan.
On loan? No, I don't know.
He wanted to come to a bigger club, he said, didn't he?
Bigger club in Spurs, aye. Right. Couldn't deal with the lack of ambition at Spurs. Players like Jamie O'Hara playing with, wasn't
it? He wanted to play in front of 60,000, didn't he?
Play with guys like me, he said.
Did he sign for Rangers?
Don't. That's a no-go, that. But do you know your comments on Gerard Bournemouth is...
Yeah,
that was a bit naughty, that.
But I wasn't wrong, though.
No, you were.
No, you
were.
You said they were a bigger club.
Yeah, maybe I got that wrong.
Mate, have you played at Bournemouth?
Aye.
Mate, it's like playing down your local park.
Yes.
It's about 3,000 people.
The reason I said it...
I've had more people in my house.
And I got the wording wrong. It's a better club. In terms of that they'd just got relegated. They'd been in the Premier League for 5 years. Rangers were playing in, you know, Dog and Duck League, where Celtic had dominated for 10 years, right? So I was looking at it thinking, they've got no chance, right? Gerrard's got no chance of being successful there. Didn't obviously realise how good he was going to be. But when you're looking at it, you go, Bournemouth have been in the Premier League for 5 seasons, which is worldwide global branding. They've dropped down, but they want to get back up. So they could do one season in the Championship, get back, and you're a Premier League manager. Or you could go to Rangers and not be successful, and you're almost finished.
You're done.
Before you started. Because if you're not successful with you know, Rangers or Celtic, then, you know, you're not really going to go and become a Premier League manager straight away. So that's why I said, I think Bournemouth's a better job for him. But he proved everyone wrong with how good he was at Rangers, you know? Like, he was incredible.
Yeah. Happy with that? Explanation?
See this, the Donald Duck League, but I think every league, though, is a two-horse race. Juventus were going for 10 in a row, so they've won it, obviously, 9 years in a row. They look stupid with that in.
With the are
it's we not having, a snooze, it's making you look stupid.
You're saying you look stupid with a snooze in your mouth when you've got that hat on.
Happy, innit? Hipster style, innit? So what I'm saying is, every league, the same team wins it. PSG, France,
Lille. Oh, yeah, Lille, come on there, but the team, the other teams compete.
Who? And France, they compete? My arse again.
Well, they do. Lille, I mean, Lille just won Lille, Lille, you've got Lille.
I mean, Rangers just won Scottish League.
Yeah, right, mate, I agree.
You know, I mean...
But in England, it's the same.
Man City at Liverpool, aren't it?
Man City at Liverpool, the rest are miles after miles. And the money they spend in that league, fuck me.
Yeah, but come on, it's, the Premier League's the most competitive league. You can't say, you can't get away from the fact that there's only ever going to be two winners in Scotland. It's either going to be Celtic or it's going to be Rangers.
Would you say it's the most competitive league in the world?
Or the Johnston's Paint? What was that?
I played in that, the Johnston's Paint final.
Who just won the cup up there? Johnston's Paint.
St. Johnston.
St. Johnston.
Yeah.
St. Johnston's Paint. I painted me living room with a Johnston's Paint the other day. I thought it was going to have the branding like cup finalists.
Would you say that's the biggest league in the world, the Premier League?
Absolutely.
Who's won it the most times?
Who's won it the most times?
What manager?
It's got to be Alex Ferguson, no?
Correct, Scottish. There you go. Not a problem.
He's the greatest manager of all time, fact.
Hey, we had this debate last week on the show.
With
Pep or Sir Alex. I know. I said Sir Alex.
You said Pep. Yeah. Oh, come on, mate.
Well, listen to this. Right, I was thinking about this. So, Sir Alex, he's actually came out and said that that team, Ronaldo, Tevez, Rooney, was his best team ever at Man United.
Right.
Pep's Barcelona team, can they get a kick against them two Champions League finals?
Yeah, because he had Lionel Messi in it.
Yeah, but my argument before was, what was the Barcelona team then before Pep went, and what was it then after Pep left?
Yeah, but he had. Listen, Pep's a great manager, but Alex Ferguson stayed at one club, built team after team after team every season, was always and dominated the league with great sides in it.
No, I mean, I agree, he's an unbelievable manager, but... judging like Europe,
he made. Look, I mean, you look at some of the teams that actually started with.
Yeah.
Pep wouldn't get results with John O'Shea and Dijemba Jemba and
He signed their players.
What?
He signed their players.
Yeah, made them great. Do you know what I mean? And he got the best out of them. Pep Guardiola, in my opinion, can only manage the best team
really
and the richest team.
I'm happy to say you can Ferguson and Guardiola, but I'm just counter argument.
You're saying obviously that Fergie obviously struggled in Europe, so to a point. But I think back then, the European sides were far better than
they were
better,
yeah.
Because now it's only the top European sides are the ones with the money. So your PSGs and what have you, the ones that have got the money are able to buy the best players. Whereas back in the day, you would have right good European sides across the board.
But it's very difficult to manage a top team. Since Pep's left Barcelona, I think they've won maybe one Champions League. So when you work at the top, the players suss you straight away. So you need to be the very best.
Your Barcelona thing is when he left Barcelona, likes Iniesta, Xavi, that kind of retired, so the nucleus of their players disappeared. Yeah. That's why Barca haven't.
No,
competed.
I had Iniesta for ages after Pep went.
No, that
and Busquets and Messi.
I'm not having that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So,
it's
time. Just good to take the argument if somebody else asking, but the Sir Alex is the papi.
Sir Alex is the best, greatest of all time.
Have you met him?
Well, I played against his team.
What was he like? What was he like on the touchline? Can you ever remember any rants or?
I can remember him he just used to have them eyes, you know, like where he just used to stare at a couple of them. I remember him staring. I think it was Ronaldo's. I mean, I marked him out in the game when we played at Old Trafford. He only scored two.
Are you playing left back?
Yeah, I played left back.
And you played right wing.
I've played him. No. Yeah, and he played right wing.
She looked a bit across him.
I mean, I got man of the match. He scored two goals.
Did you get man of the match?
I got man of the match.
At Old Trafford?
At Old Trafford, I don't know how. I was ridiculous. But I remember watching his... I mean, for me, growing up, Manchester United were... I was a Spurs fan, but I loved Man United. Yeah. Like, just growing up, they were my idols, you know, Scholes and, you know, Bex and, you know, when Ronaldo and all that come. I just loved watching them. And Sir Alex Ferguson was just like, he's probably one of the only people you stand in front of and you get kind of starstruck. Yeah. When he's standing in the tunnel, he always used to stand right at the back with his suit on. He just always looked, and you just used to look at him and think, I'd give anything to play for him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I just weren't good enough.
And what was he giving Ronaldo, the death stare?
Yeah, you know, like he just had the old death stare, innit? He didn't even really need to say much. He was just that death stare when you used to hear, when you just used to see him look at him and you think,
what about best you
don't
played against?
Who's
the best
now?
You played against in the Premier League?
The best player, I mean, for me, you'd have to say Ronaldo. I mean,
He was that. It was funny because I just started playing left back and I played really well that week against Ronaldo. I mean, he scored two, but he had to go over the other side and he went out onto the left and ended up. So I had a good game against him, but he was unbelievable. But actually, the player who I had the biggest stinker against was Steven Gerrard. Because he was just... I remember playing against him at Liverpool, White Hart Lane, and I was thinking, I was young and playing against Liverpool. I thought, Gerrard, you got to nail him early. Like, yeah. I was like, I'm gonna do him. I've got to do him. And then, so the first one, I've gone like right over the top of him. But I should have some of that. I thought, I can handle this. But that was it. I was like, I just poked the bear.
The beast, huh?
Yeah, right. I just poked the beast. And he the next time I tried to sort of steam into him, he played a 1-2 round me, zing one, 70 yards. Next time he received it on the off turn, saw me coming a day before I'd even got there, nutmegged me, put Fernando Torres for 45 minutes, gave me the biggest run around of my life, the biggest footballing lesson I've ever had.
Super.
And I walked, and I got dragged at half time, and I walked off that pitch, and I was just like, wow, I thought I was good.
He's fucking.
But he was on an, he was on another planet.
Yeah.
And he was doing that to everyone.
Yeah.
And there's here, by the way, with the producer, if Celtic and Rangers go into the Premier League tomorrow,
with the money that they've got.
Well, if Celtic and Rangers went into the Premier League, let's get one thing.
They wouldn't get relegated. I don't hear that. They would not get relegated because they're much better Sheffield U. What I mean? One of the worst fucking performances in history.
Fulham?
No.
Fulham, my God, Scott Parker, what a guy, but an embarrassment performance. And whoever
West Brom,
else.
Sam's West Brom.
Big Sam.
100%.
Celtic would get relegated.
No, they wouldn't.
Rangers would stay up.
Oh, my God.
I think Rangers would
close
stay up.
Close as many as you, didn't he?
No, I genuinely, I think Rangers, if you're going off this season, Rangers would stay in the Premier League just.
They've just won 9 in a row.
Celtic would get relegated. They would go down.
No.
They would go down.
No, the money they would get in the summer. They would...
it's all you ever talk about is if we got the money.
That's
like
the Premier League.
That's why you've got so good a teams.
Listen, I've said this before. I said, give them a couple, if they survived and they did,
cutting
I mean,
yours.
Celtic would have to go down and then get back up. But Rangers, I think, could then become like a sort of top eight side with the money.
See, Celtic, listen, I'm going to just say, bar Man United and Liverpool, Celtic is bigger than any.
Yeah, that's
here.
True. That is
They're
true.
Bigger than any other
worldwide.
Club. Worldwide. Because Man City have been bought with money.
Celtic.
Fan base worldwide. Rangers would be bigger as well.
100%.
Be bigger, other than Man United.
Was it bigger than what? Arsenal.
Yep.
100%.
Arsenal.
I walked about LA with a thong on, and there was never, Simon, any Arsenal scarves or bad Celtic pubs everywhere. Right. Aberdeen's bigger than Arsenal. There you go.
I actually remember Aberdeen played Burnley. Burnley finished 7th or 8th in the Premier League that year, Europa Cup. It's the closest game you'll ever see in your life.
The fact that Burnley's staying up in that league that
exactly,
long tells can't
you.
It be that.
They're all guys I played against
Sean
Dyche
should
two.
Become the Celtic manager.
All the Burnley
he's
players now.
Manager,
yeah, he's one for all the Burnley players now playing the Premier League. They're all League One, League Two.
I know.
Playing in England. That's where the Premier League is now. Burnley's team now, most of them played League One, League Two when I was doing that, eh?
Right, yeah. So what happened to you?
He's big.
No, but I'm just saying, Jamie, like, Premier
League. Yeah, but they're playing Premier League.
So it's not great. It's not great, it's the standard.
I think the standard's gone... I think the Premier League standard's gone way down.
Yeah,
it's just about being fit and professional.
Right.
The talent, I think, is gone. It's not as good as it used to be.
How,
Gerrard's, the Scholes's, you know, them type...
Yeah,
the Roy Keane's, the Vieira's, the Petit's. In my opinion... I think the Premier League's the levels dropped massively.
But then you see that, and I agree with you, mate. But then you look at Europe; it could have been Man United, Arsenal in the Europa League, Man City, and Chelsea. So the clubs are obviously still doing it, innit?
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But I think world football, the players.
When I go back to when I was playing and trying to break through, I look at the players that I used to think I've got to get in front of, and I'm thinking I've got no chance to get in front of Modric and
now
you know
it's Sokol.
Yeah, now it's like Harry Winks, Eric Dyer, and I'm thinking. God, I'd give my right arm to be 21 again.
Yeah,
you know
the standard has been doing me on
that. I just feel like it's gone down. You know, look at Arsenal. I think when I was at Arsenal as a kid, and I signed for Spurs and I was 17, I was looking at the squad thinking, Arsenal want me to sign a pro deal, but I want to push on. I want to try and get in the first team. Vieira and Petit playing midfield. You
know? Him as well, Ray Parler.
You're thinking, they've got no chance.
Yeah. Just on the reaction thing you say about Scottish football.
Go on.
The Bournemouth one, was that the worst? Twitter went wild, didn't it?
That was out there. I mean, I got hammered for that. And listen, I like to have a bit of a laugh with Ali about it. You know, I always dig in Ali out. He digs me out. And it's hard to dig Ali out because he's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I always say to him, like, look, mate, really and truthfully, he scored 800 goals in non-league. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the greatest all-time non-league goal scorer, isn't he? You know, because he went to Sunderland, and flopped. Like, absolutely flopped. So he can't even say.
And what does he give you back to that?
He basically was just like, how many goals have you scored? And I was like, yeah. So it's hard.
Do you struggle with that, mate, when the online, like, when they come hammer you, do you struggle with it?
You know what? Sometimes, you know, like if I'm in, you know, sometimes I'm in a good mood and I like, listen, it's all lighthearted, you know, like I respect the game. I respect everyone, you know, whether you're non-league, whether, you know, I respect you. I like to have a laugh and have a joke. But some people, obviously, I didn't realise how big Celtic and Rangers were until I had made that comment. Yeah. And I didn't even mean to slaughter them. I was just having a chat, but when you see the fan base and how big the actual clubs are, I mean, it's ridiculous. They're a joke. They're giants, right?
I think Gerard's realised that as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think, look, we're in a bubble down London. You know, you have the London clubs and then you kind of venture and you go Manchester. But, you know, like, until you really see the fan bases at Celtic and Rangers and you see it properly, you don't realise how big it is. And they're monsters,
you're
right?
You're actually a really nice guy.
What did you think? I was going to be a whopper.
A whopper. But what I'm going to end it right here is Rangers and Steven Gerrard had a great run in Europe. If Fulham were in Europe, they would have been embarrassed. Yeah, they'd have embarrassed the whole of England. They would have embarrassed the whole of England.
Let's stop you right there.
See, if Fulham were in it, they'd have shut the tournament down. Get them out the fucking tournament.
The last time Fulham were in Europe, they got to the final.
Correct.
Yeah, but not this Fulham team.
What?
No, but that was a good Fulham team. This Fulham team's rubbish. Who's good for Fulham?
Well, you got Mitrovic, you got Tom Kearney.
Mitrovic, Scotland knocked him out of the Euros. Stupid.
A centre half in Motherwell marked him out of the game.
Who?
Declan Gallagher.
Big Dirty Gallagher.
No, but you know what I mean? Rangers went a great run in Europe, mate. You can't do that.
No, listen, I love. Gerrard is my idol, so instantly. You know, I love watching. I want to see Rangers and see how they play and how they do. And they're playing some great football this season. They were top draw. They were class. They were top class.
So also, the pressure of playing
for Celtic Rangers. It's been embarrassing, though, isn't it, for Scotland in the last sort of 9-10 years, because Rangers have been so far off it that it's kind of it's been a one horse race for 9 years, and then they've managed to.
But as I say, that's Bayern Munich were on for 9-10 in a row. Juventus, so it's happening all over the world. So that's the club of Celtic are that big worldwide. It's too hard to compete with them.
Are you comparing the Celtic Scottish Prem to Bundesliga and Serie A?
I would say maybe a wee bit better, Scotland.
Right, here we go. We've got a new feature for the Euros. You still going to play each other?
This is exciting, isn't it? Loser takes a spoon of cinnamon. Come on, Jamie. You're not going to be.
We haven't got cinnamon.
Do you want to come on one of the live shows we're doing? You're making about, what is it, 50 grand?
How many people?
50
grand. How many people are there?
1,000.
That's not enough. 1,000.
Right, it's going to be Slaney v Jamie competition introduction for Grosvenor Sport. Your decision game is. So it's a yes or no game. So we're going to start here, right, with Turkey v Italy. So you need to give me your predictions here. I'm going to ask you, Slaney, we'll go for you first. Are both teams going to score?
I'm going to say no.
Jamie?
I will say yes.
Okay. Wait a minute, just sorry, Sam. I know this isn't the game, but who is up front for Turkey?
Hakan Şükür.
You don't know. You've said Turkey's going to score, but you don't know their team. It's a bad shout. Sorry, we need to apologise.
He said.
Sorry, we need to apologise.
Both teams are going to score. Yeah, both teams to score. Yeah, it's opening game. It's going to be this.
Italy very defensive.
Aye. I think it'll be a good game. That.
All right.
Will it be dirty?
Will it be a draw at half time? You can go first this one.
Draw at half time. Yes.
Paul.
Yes. KG, wasn't it?
KG start for the start of the tournament. Will there be over 9.5 total corners in the match?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Definitely. Set pieces are massive in the Euros. Yeah. Massive.
England done it the last World Cup. That's what they scored for, wasn't it? Yeah. Set pieces. Embarrassed.
Will there be 5+ minutes of stoppage time in the second half?
Definitely, yes.
Because of VAR and stuff like that?
Just because of VAR. Yeah, I think it's going to be that. It's the Italians v the Turkish. It's going to be.
Do you like VAR?
No, I hate it.
Do you, mate?
I hate it. They should scrap the whole thing. I think it's pathetic.
But see if you had VAR, remember the goal you scored with Germany? Lampard, VAR then?
Wouldn't have counted.
No, it would have counted.
It would have counted.
Do you think, Jamie, that VAR's the problem? No, I don't like it. Running VAR's the problem?
I think maybe the way it's being run at Stockley Park is a shambles. And I've been to Stockley Park and they've got a great setup there. I don't know how they're getting it so wrong. Like, it's
so who has it? You've obviously been
but
there.
But I just feel like, you see, right, like, the Champions League final.
Right, mate, we'll come back to VAR in a minute. We need to finish this feature, then we'll go to VAR.
You're all right, mate.
That's why I run the show, mate, and you sit there.
Yes, I am.
5 minutes of stoppage time in the second half.
I'm going to say no. Right. 3 minutes added on.
Okay. Finally, Italy to have two or more cards. I say yes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
No, I'm going to say no, mate, because I love putting the cards on. I love betting on the cards. They're not coming anywhere. No. Referees are very lenient, so no.
Right, okay. We're going to go Wales v Switzerland now. All right, so how about we think about the Wales team, the Swiss team?
Wales v Switzerland.
Bad game. It's a bad game, mate, isn't it?
Is that the first two opening games?
That's it.
Scotland are better than Wales.
Both teams to score, Paul?
Scotland are better than Wales.
Aye. No, it's a 0-0.
It's a miracle, but it is. I don't know how you're playing Wales.
Jamie, both teams to score.
Wales v Switzerland. Yeah. I'd say yeah. Did you say no?
No, mate, it's a 0-0 written away,
right? Right, okay.
No, I think there's goals in it.
Over 8.5 total corners in the match.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Thinking Wales, bow. Corners. Yeah. No, actually, no, I'll say no this one.
Right.
I'll say no.
You're saying yeah?
Why do you think no?
I just feel that, I don't know. I want to say no. Is that right with you? Wales,
Wales to make the first substitution.
Yeah, it was just, fuck me.
Yeah, because Bale will probably get injured.
I'll go Wales first, aye.
Wales first, okay. Bale to have two or more shots on target.
Ah, fuck, 100%.
Yeah, okay. Come on. And then draw at halftime.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, I'd even go as far as say it'd be 0-0 at halftime.
Aye, 0-0 halftime, 0-0 full-time. All the way.
Brilliant. Okay, so it's free to play, which is amazing. Anyone can play for free, didn't need to put any money.
No money,
money
at all.
In your pocket, nah. Free to play, mate.
It's all right, isn't it?
That's 10 yes or no questions per round across two games. Up to 5k prize for top scorer in each round. Overall leaderboard winner receives 10k at the end of the tournament. If you get 6 or more correct, you win a £10 free bet.
It's all right, isn't it?
Decent,
eh? Decent. You don't memorise that, no?
Nah. Read it off the
sheet. You're a host
you're
as well, aren't
you?
Enjoy it.
So you could give him a few tips, to be honest.
It's hard.
Well, he's good at it.
The first tip I would do is probably not like hold the scripts like that. Do you know? Like, you, the people need to, you know, you're on film.
I just want to make sure that these are spot on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Jamie.
It's important. Right.
Let's move on.
The Euros, who won it, Kev?
I would say Belgium.
Oh.
De Bruyne's it, so that's him done. They're aging, they're not the same team. Hazard's not the same.
I was going to say somebody shiting in, see what he said.
Listen, there's only going to be one team at winner.
France.
Can't he, mate? The other night seeing him.
Aye. Who's going
and
goals for France?
Benzema and Mbappe.
Benzema's back.
France have won it, mate. I can't see anybody
I think France favourites, I'd say Portugal. I mean, you can't write them off. They're the holders and they've still got the same team and they're probably not better.
Yeah.
So I would say France, Portugal or England.
Belgium must be under more pressure.
France and Portugal.
Is De Bruyne out?
That'll be England do it then, the next round.
France, Portugal, no, we don't necessarily plan though, do we? We might knock one of them out.
So do you know how England's going to win the group?
I think England win the group.
So that means we'll get one of them?
Exactly, but we might. One of them, they can't all win it, can they? One of them we've got to get knocked
Whoever
out.
Who wins that last 16 game wins the Euros. If England win their group.
So do you think England could win it, Kev?
I think they could. Let's not beat about the bush. We'll try to take the piss here. England and I'll try my best, but on paper, England's got a right good side.
Yeah, of course.
Young players.
You're desperate, aren't you? You're desperate to find it. You're clutching.
I know.
He's clutching.
They've got a chance.
Chris Holly.
Would Graham O'Brien come back up?
Not a bit.
I can't. I've got to stay after Siberians. They're no good for you. Every footballer does them now. You know that.
I know.
Everyone. I don't get it.
Shouldn't he be allowed, in fact, by the way?
What does it do to you, Slinny? Describe it to me.
It's not having a cigarette, isn't it?
Having a fag, mate. It's a wee fag, isn't it?
It's no good for you.
Yeah, but see, when you take one when you're drinking for the first time, absolute whitey, didn't you?
Yeah, so I've been carried out of a club.
Who's the best? Who's it? See, when you were with Spurs and stuff.
No, mate, we're coming to that. We're coming to that.
Oh, sorry.
We just need to finish this.
Really, you should add that to it.
He's the man, isn't he?
Because he's the man, right? He's the boss.
Can I come on your show?
No.
On TalkSport? Please.
I'd love you to come on,
would you, mate? I'll be good. I'll wind them all up.
I think you'd be good.
Thanks very much.
But the problem is they need, like, sort of...
But no, big names.
Names, you know?
They two are perfect for radio, folk, aren't they? They two are perfect for radio, aren't they?
Uh-huh. Faces for radio.
Golden boot, who are we going?
Golden
Ronaldo,
boot.
Ronaldo, maybe. Benzema.
Ronaldo's last hurrah.
She Adams, probably.
No, I think Harry Kane will score a hat-trick against Scotland, so I'm going to say Harry Kane. He's just won the Golden Boot in the Prem. I think he's going to win it in the Euros and then he's going to sign for Man City.
He thinks Harry Kane's arses are tied together. He thinks he's slow.
Too slow, Harry Kane.
Don't need to be quick, though. He's not blessed with pace,
is
he?
My point was when he played with Mourinho, they were sitting half hitting the counter, wasn't he, suited to Harry Kane? My opinion.
He doesn't play like that for England, though, does he?
Would he only be sitting in?
No, I don't think
you think you're going to attack France and Portugal? Goodness me.
Listen, we all know international football is very cagey. It's very case. No, it's rare. You know, I mean, the only team I've seen that actually go off it was Kosovo and they ended up getting beat like 6-2 or something, you know. But international football is just about keeping
them. Did you play international football?
21s I played for.
Did you?
Yeah. Wasn't good enough to get the England team. But talking about the era, that era was Scholes, Gerrard and Lampard. I mean, and Bex.
Who's your manager? Who's your manager at 21s? Who's your manager at 21s?
Stuart Pearce.
Good.
Loved him. Top guy.
Psycho.
Brilliant. Psycho, yeah. He had something about him. I really like him, and he's obviously doing well at West Ham. They've got it right at West Ham with him.
Yeah.
Moyes and that, Kevin Nolan.
Kev, Golden Boot, ex-striker, who are you going?
It's hard to argue with Harry Kane, si, because I think he scores goals regardless of who he plays against. I don't think he has he doesn't have to set a certain style of play to score goals. He just shoots on sight, finds himself in the right places, and he's got a wee bit of everything. He can header, he can get on the turn, half turn. Mm-hmm. For me, Harry Kane will give a shout. Ronaldo will have it in a shout as well because they'll get penalties, they'll get free kicks, things like that. Whereas with England, Harry Kane probably won't take free kicks, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, I don't know. I think it was before it was Dier, wasn't it? Was taking him in Trippier. But I don't know if they're obviously going to play.
That's got to be
a good decision, no picking Eric Dier for this round.
He's Southgate's boy for Dier, isn't he? They play chess together in the room, didn't they?
Aye. Before big games, innit?
He was gutted leaving him out, wasn't he? Gutted.
Yeah. Dark horses, who have we got?
Scotland,
I agree.
Scotland.
Aye. You think so, mate? Aye.
Yeah. I think they'll get through the group.
Breakout star, Foden.
Is he a breakout star?
What, in the Euros?
In terms of international stage.
By the way, he said that Foden's better than Gaza.
Yeah, I said that.
Did you, mate?
There you go.
Oh, yes.
Well, he already is.
Wow, Simon.
We had a good debate Gaza
was, again, an idol, but he's the people's hero, isn't it? Because of, you know, the drinking and the culture and it being Gaza. But if you're actually looking at careers that Foden's going to have, I mean, he's almost already had a better career than Gaza. Yeah. And he's 21.
Sorry for going off there, Simon.
That's fine, mate. Do what you like. Right, we're going to ask him about a few heroes that he's
the presenter, worked with. I mean,
yeah, take that. Take just that. You ask. When you go. Ask him.
Aye, we'll just talk about Alan Brazil, legend.
Absolute legend. The best drinker I've ever seen.
Tell us that story. So you start at 10, drinking.
Yeah, so we do the show at 6. And when I first started doing it, obviously I was excited to go out with Al and that because I like having a drink. And I'm a bit of a softy with drink. I like a shandy.
Blue Wicked.
I like a shandy or a cocktail, like a pina colada or something, you know, like.
What? What? Yeah, you set a booze on, have a pina colada?
Yeah, why not?
Fuck off.
Do you?
Nah.
Well, if I'm on holiday, I'll have a pina colada. But if I'm sat in like a boozer in Glasgow, I'd probably order like a Mai Tai or something. Or a Caprino.
Oh my God.
You know, like something nice I'm going to enjoy drinking. I don't sit there and enjoy drinking a big pint, like pretending to be like William Wallace. You know what I mean? Like,
Brazil does.
You know, and I just sit there with a big gut, you know, it's big enough anyway. But I went after the show, I'm like, it's 10 o'clock, you finish. 10:01, he's like, right, downstairs, there's a pub that opens. We're in there, Wheat Sheaf it's called. You're in there, 10 o'clock, first pint every morning. So I sit there, I go down, I'll order a shandy. So I'll have a shandy, I'm sitting there. By 10:05, first pint's gone.
Love that.
Wow.
Then it's another pint. Then it's another, and honestly, by 11 o'clock, he'd done 10 pints.
Is he one of the guys?
And he wasn't like, it was just like breakfast. Hadn't eaten. Like, if I'm drinking, I've got to plan my whole day around
it. You've got to have pre-match, haven't you?
Pre-match. Do you know what I mean? I've got to have, you know, half-time, you know, I've got to get something in me. When I'm steaming, it's like, right, now I've got to have a nut. I've got to get a kebab quickly or something before we go to the next place. He was like, no breakfast, nothing, just bang, at it from 10. And then he's like, right, 12 o'clock, he's like, see you later, James, I'm off to the Ned, I'm gone.
What's the Ned, another boozer?
Ned's like a private members club and he's just another boozer. He sits in the boozer every day. Every day.
What a hero.
But he says to me, he's not an alcoholic. He just likes having... He's just sociable. Like, he's just living his best life.
Can Ray keep up with him?
Ray's the only one who has a go.
His videos are tremendous with the Cobra, isn't it?
Yeah, but Ray, he tries to keep up with him. But have you seen the Tube video of him steaming and his quiff going in it? You know, like, no one can keep up with Alan.
Can McCoy's drink?
Yeah, but Koisty's really flaky, isn't he? You know, like, he's a proper flaky guy. You know, I love him to bits and he's, you know, we have a great laugh, but he always says he wants to have a drink and then he dips and then, like, well, we had a golf tournament and I drove and, you know, me and Al were in the car and we're laughing, having a joke, and Koisty's in the back and he's sleeping. You know, he's having a nap, you know, and I'm like, is he all right, this guy? You know, he's napping. So he's meant to be a Scottish legend.
He's on meth, isn't he?
He's letting the side down. But there you go, another of the best drinkers, Scottish as well, Brazil.
I know. Is Brazil up here classed as the best drinker? Is there anyone in Scotland that matches him?
Big, you can down the pints.
Back in the day, I think the most I did in a day was about 28 pints. But
this guy sits for a pint for about 5 hours.
I'm in hospital.
I don't drink.
You don't drink?
No.
You just take loads of Viagra, didn't you?
Just Viagra.
So you do snooze?
Snooze and Viagra.
So you do snooze and Viagra, but you don't drink?
So when you wake up, you get the fear, mate, didn't you? Fucking whoever texts and all that. Oh.
Yeah, but...
That's part of the fun, isn't it? Ross McCormick, you play with him?
Yeah, I played with Ross.
How was he? Is that a feeling?
I was at Fulham with Ross.
Doesn't seem if he likes him.
No, I liked Ross. I thought he was all right. He was a good guy. He fell off a little bit, didn't he? You know, he had a bit of a fall from grace, and he was a good player when I played with him. But
was he good?
Well, he was lazy. Proper lazy. He didn't
have a joke.
But he was just like, he was one of these players, right? And these players annoyed me in my career. Do nothing in a game but score. But we get beat 3-1. But Ross McCormack scored a free kick, and everyone's like, oh, Ross played really well. I'm like, hold on a minute. We lost 3-1 and he didn't hold the ball up once and give the ball away every time he got it. Mm-hmm. But he scored a free kick in the 85th minute when we're 3-0 down. Like, stuff like that used to drive me mad.
Yeah.
But he obviously was a great goal scorer.
The next guy's a hero on the show, Edgar Davids. You heard the stories about McBarnett, huh?
What was he doing at Barnett?
He wore number one, didn't he? Played centre mid and he just wanted the boys to pass the ball to him all the time. Do you know Barry Fuller?
Yeah, Baz, yeah.
Fullback, supposedly, like, played the ball down the side. Do you know Ricky Holmes now? Nah, he played with
Barnett. Yeah, Holmesy, with a big massive cut.
That's right. Fuller played the ball down the channel instead of passing to Davids, and Davids stopped the full session. He's like, what are you doing? And Fuller's like, well, I've just put the striker in. He's like, yes, but I'm Edgar Davids. Pass the fucking ball to me. And then he went, is this fucking kindergarten?
He was the manager, right? I played with Edgar Davids. I was
at Spurs.
And he was, you know what? He was a ledge guy.
Was he?
Proper ledge guy. I used to go out with and do sessions. He was obsessed with, like, street football. You know, like, doing step-overs.
Jogger Benito. Yeah, Jogger Benito, all that.
He was obsessed with it. But he actually helped me a lot with, like, sort of, you know, touches and things. But then He left Spurs. He thought he was the main man, didn't he? He thought he was the main man there. But everyone knew Robbie Keane was the main man at Spurs. And Keane put him in his place a few times. But
and what way?
I mean, I'm not. I've said it before, and Keane don't like me talking about it anymore because it is.
What about Big Meadow? Did you play with him?
Yeah, Meadow. Yeah, he was a big boy.
He
was a good player. But he turned up the first day he got here, and they signed him. I don't know where they signed him from. He turned up in a white Rolls Royce Phantom.
Love that.
And I was like, who is this guy?
Do you like
him? But he was like, apparently his family were like
Royalty.
Yeah, like mega royalty. Like, he was so rich that he ended up playing for West Ham for like £1 a week.
Did he ever cash anyone off?
No, he didn't. He loved the game. He wasn't great, but he was heavy, but he could finish. He was a good striker to have in your team. Good guy.
Kev, who's the last one?
Tarat.
What a player Tarat was.
Adel Tarat.
The, I've got his tap.
The
skills.
Most annoying player to play with in my whole life. I hated.
Did you?
Hated playing with him. He used to wind me up so much. I mean, he had one unbelievable season at QPR and everyone thinks he's like Maradona.
Yeah.
So, but I played with him. He was coming through with the reserves and that. And he was the laziest guy I've ever met. He was arrogant, but he obviously had unbelievable ability. Like, he used to nutmeg every, he'd nutmeg you three or four times in training. You wanted to snap him in half.
Yep.
But when he, when you, to play with him, I hated him because I was always about get the ball, move it, pass it, move it. He wanted to have the ball and go around six or seven players and then beat him again. And he had one season at QPR where I was like, he was a joke. He was unbelievable. But I used to hate playing with players. Like, I hated him. Hated playing with him. He had incredible talent, but he was just annoying to be around.
He was one of them. He would do stepovers when there was no need to do stepovers.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And he'd step over and he'd beat you, and then you'd be like, right, well, pass it and give it. But then he'd come back. Turn back and want to try and nutmeg you. And I'm like, this is just.
Who was the craziest players you played against? Played with, sorry.
Craziest
and changing player. Rooms and night suit. And
I mean, David Bentley was a great guy to have around.
Oh, mate, his podcast where. Was it, what was the one he done?
I don't know.
It was him and Bullard talking about what they used to do at Capello and that.
Yeah, I mean, Bence was, I mean, he was funny. He used to crack me up, some of the things he used to do. Like, he used to just, like, he'd come out to late to training because he drove one of the lads' cars on over the field or something and just left, like, a Bentley with a roof down. And, I mean, I remember him, he built a snowman in Jermaine Genius's car. And like, had a brand new Range Rover, and then like Gina's like gets him, put his seatbelt on. I remember, and he just looked in his passenger seat. There's a big snowman in his seat, and then like, you know, like stuff like that was funny. But managers, it was bad because it was kind of getting to that point where that era where that managers wanted that out of the team and out of the game. I think he'd probably be all right now. I think he'd probably get away with it again because it's kind of come back round the banter. But
he went through as well, Bentley, wasn't he?
Oh, he was unreal. Feet, I mean, fucking hell, he played for England.
But did he stop playing early, didn't he? Really Bentley early?
He'd done his ankle, he had some bad injuries.
He sack your football, didn't he?
He bought a big beach bar, didn't he? He had some big investment in La Sala in Marbella, and he went and just moved out there.
Any other?
As you do.
Any other nutters? Nutcases or?
Nutters.
And it's, I suppose we want the big names, didn't we?
Yeah, that's I'm trying to think of nutters. In terms of nutters, I wouldn't say nutty. I mean, Didier Zakora was a bit like that. He was a bit nuts. But no, I think like they were. You know, they was all good. Your players like.
So you can
all players are good lads, aren't they? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I've never really come across maybe one arsehole, maybe one
aye.
Who was, and that was Benoit Assou-Ekotto, you know. And I think
fullback.
The fullback.
He actually came out and says he hated football.
And he'd come out
and
just basically said he hated football. And he was like that, you know, like you could just see he just didn't like it. It was a job. And I did get that. Like, I grew up loving the game, do you know what I mean? I would play, I'd play on a Sunday league pitch if I thought I'd get 90 minutes, you know? Yeah.
You actually done that for the second part of your career, did you know?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I might as well have played for Celtic. Do you know what I mean? Like, being at Billericay, I might as well have gone and played for Celtic.
See that? Did you ever get asked to Celtic or Rangers come in for you at any points?
I think Neil Lennon was the manager. I think there was a big talk of me going to Celtic on loan for a long the season. It was a big talk about it. And obviously Celtic, great club. It would have been, look, they're a big club, you know, but I just thought, you know, I don't want to go and play in that dog and duck league.
Got to stop that.
You got to stop that.
Got to stop that.
Just think, use that.
I went to Portsmouth, played 38 games in the Prem that season and got an FA Cup final. That or Celtic, you know?
Celtic beat Barcelona in the Champions League that year, so I probably would have took Celtic.
Absolutely. 60,000 to Pompey, fuck me.
Just think, you two could have played with each other because he was at Celtic at that time.
We'd have got one, wouldn't we have?
We would have got on. Yeah. I would have battered you.
But Pompey, Harry.
No, you know what? It would have been. I dig out Scotland, right? I do, and I have a laugh. But to play, listen, people always ask me on Talk Sport to dig out the Scottish teams and the players and all that, and I'm like, well, hold on a minute. They're representing their country. These are top players, right? And if you're playing in the Premier League in Scotland, you're a top player. You're a good player.
Yeah.
So it would have been. I would have loved to. I would have loved to play for Celtic or Rangers.
That's nice to hear, isn't it?
When you went to Pompey, Harry Redknapp, good guy.
Top, I love Harry. Harry actually, I mean, he helped me a lot. I mean, he actually palmed me off from Tottenham. He bombed me because I was obviously starting to be a twat, you know, going out, wearing shirts like that, you know what I mean? Like, giving it large ones.
Bet your buds loved it.
Yeah, birds, yeah. I mean, it, but I just picked the wrong ones. And and, you know, and Harry kind of bombed me off. He was like, you know, like, it was that going through that time where you weren't allowed to be seen to be doing that. And it was silly from me. I made some mistakes. Should have just, I should have had a much better career than I did. And, you know, look, when you're young and you've got money and you've got the big contracts and that, you kind of get carried away a little bit, don't you? And
Jamie, see that on that, sort of interrupt you through your conversations. It's a good point because it's obviously, we hear a lot of young listeners as well, even young Paul here. Why is it, why, what would you think needs to be done better? So I would be doing the same line as you. I had a good career. It was played with some good clubs, but I feel it could have been better. You probably feel that same.
Yeah.
And you say that the money goes your head. That was probably me as well. I didn't probably earn the levels of money that you did, but it's irrelevant in terms of your lifestyle and stuff. Yeah. When money gets to that point, it overtakes you. Think you go back to your hometown, your belly big boys, you buy fancy clothes, you get fancy cars. How can that be better? How can younger kids not do that? What is it that the FA or the Scottish FA or something needs to do to make that better?
I just think the guidance needs to be better. I think contracts need to be staggered better. You know, I went from earning like $1,000 a week to $25,000 a week. Do you know what I mean? Like, and all of a sudden you're going from getting $4,000 in your account every month to getting $100,000 every month. You know, it's money that you can't, in your brain, and I've come from nothing, you know, like little sort of council estate, grew up with nothing. My dad wasn't rich. He didn't know how to deal with money. He didn't know how to save money and put money away and how to spend it. You know, I grew up, so I'm getting it, and all of a sudden I'm buying nice cars, I'm doing nice things. All of a sudden I'm going to the best restaurants, and you take your eye, I took my eye off the prize. And I think the guidance in young lads needs to be so much better. You see it now still, you know, like Grealish has gone through it. Mason Greenwood's going through
Ford,
it a little
Ford
bit.
Done it as well,
you know, like the own, it's very, like, I mean, Rashford is, you know, amazing with how he's been and, you know, to the way he's dealt with things. But, you know, you see so many young players going through this still. And you think, come on, the amount of, I mean, I was on big money. I was on $35,000 a week at Wolves, which was huge money. That, I mean, that's not even championship money now.
I know.
Yeah, you know, like, know. You're talking $200,000-$300,000 a week in the Premier League. These young, who are 20, imagine if you had $300,000 a week and you're 21 to 25. I mean are you not going to go off the rails?
Gareth Southgate was the only one that never went off the rails, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just boring, though, wasn't it? So boring. I mean,
he bought a new pencil case every week, didn't he?
You know, like, I played like with James Milner now in England, and I was like, mate, like, you're so boring. You know, like, go and have a drink, mate. And then I sit there and think, he's still earning $150,000 a week, and I'm sat here doing this. Do you know what I mean?
What was the most ludicrous thing you bought? Remember?
Yeah, I bought a white Bentley with diamond Bentley badges. No. And I look back at some of the pictures on Google and I think, what a mug.
Aye.
What a twat.
Who was your manager at that time?
Mick McCarthy.
What did he say?
So that went down like a lead balloon. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was like, it was just not a good look turning up. Especially I was at Wolves and we were struggling as well. And I'd obviously come in and I was, you know, but when you're young, you don't see it, do you? You know, like, I look back now and I look at that, some of the stuff I used to do and like the magazines and the, I remember we got relegated and I went and hired a yacht out in Dubai. In your head, you think, well, I'm just having a nice time and relaxing. Yeah. But to everyone else who loves the game, who paying their hard-earned money to come and watch you, and you haven't played well, and then you're going to live it up, I look back and think, what are you doing, you prick? Do you know what I mean? Like, I changed so much, not the way I played or how I, just some of the things I used to do, you just... And I just think it's still bad that the guidance in football is terrible.
It's even worse, mate. 16-year-olds who have never fucking kicked a ball with the first team are now getting unbelievable contacts. Mate, they've not even played.
Mate, there's players in the Chelsea reserve team in the under-23s who have never kicked a ball on $30,000 a week. On $30,000 a week. You don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be.
And it just think like that, just the game is just, in my opinion, the game's changed too much. It's gone. There's
an element
ridiculous.
Of when you play football, you play it for the love of the game, but at the same time, you're still trying to make an honest living and provide for your future.
Of course.
First, like, I always thought that was, it's the two of them, the two goals were the same.
Yeah.
To play well, you got that, and that's how you... Now it seems like, in your circumstance, my circumstance, and many, many other football circumstances, when you get a level of money, it takes away from the other side. why you're there in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're talking about what you're buying. I remember being at Sunderland, I bought a house with two garages. And you come from like a council house that costs your mum and dad 13 grand.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you bought a house with two garages. I'm like, well, I better buy another car because
yeah.
I've got two garages. I remember getting by like a wee Mini Cooper or something. And I got like, it was all black and I got black and white checks on the roof. I fucking rolled up out of Sunderland with black and white checks and roof and that's like my rival's main colours.
It's stupidity. I think as well, like you think it's going to last forever, don't you?
Aye.
I mean, when you're playing, like we're like, you know what I mean? We all still think we're young lads, but we're old now. You think it's going to last forever. So when that contract comes, you think that's I can spend this and spend it and spend it and it's just going to keep coming. And when that day comes and you're like, bang, there's no phone calls.
Yep.
The agents are not calling you. Yeah. You're trying to get a trial at fucking Warsaw. And they're like, no, not for us. And you're like, you're winding me up, mate. I played 100 games in the Premier League. I can't get a trial at Warsaw. You know, like, and you're thinking, wow, like, yeah. I've gone. And then you're sitting and you're thinking, like, I'm going through a divorce. I'm going, the money's just going out of your account. And you're thinking, what are you going to do?
And that is
what you got to be careful of as these young lads now. And, you know, the money they earn is crazy, but you got to remember why you play football and what you've done it for. If someone turned around to me and said, I'll give you a 2-year contract to Tottenham, I'm going to pay you £5 a week, I'd lose a hand for it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. To walk out on a football pitch and just play the game that you love playing. And I think I went through a little bit of a period where I forgot about that.
Yeah. What about managers? Any good managers that were a wee bit different?
Managers. I mean, Dean Saunders was car crash.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, he took over Mick McCarthy. Stal Solbakken and come in. Do you remember Stal Solbakken?
Baldy.
I mean, honestly, the worst manager I've ever seen.
How? In what way?
Well, it just, I mean, that's disrespectful. I shouldn't say that because, you know, he won the league in, another Farmers League. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember what it was. No, he won it with Copenhagen, yeah. So he won a decent league, better than the Scottish Prem.
No chance.
But he won that league and he come over and he just didn't get it. It was the Championship, right? And it was like Saturday, you know, Sheffield Wednesdays, Sheffield United, you know, like proper games. Tuesday, and he did not understand English football and he got thrown in the deep end and he was... You could see him just sinking and sinking. Every team, we're fucked. We're fucked, boys, we're fucked. And you're like, you're the gaffer. Like, in danger. You know, we have to win this one, boys, we're fucked. We're bottom of the league and we've just dropped out of the Prem. And then, like, to make it matters worse, he brought in Dean Saunders, of all people. Like, Dean Saunders still thought he was the best player.
He's having himself.
He used to talk about all these, you know, cars that he's got and all these, you know, fancy. I'm like, any danger, you just pick in the right team. Like, you know, like, and it was after Mick McCarthy, they didn't realise how good Mick McCarthy was. Like, Mick McCarthy was amazing.
Especially just, at that level, wasn't it?
For that level, it was, you know, no nonsense. You knew what you were getting. But you was onside for him. You'd run through a brick wall for him because he'd have your back. But he was straight to the point. Do you know what I mean? And he'd tell you how it is. So Wolves, you know, you look at most teams that Mick McCarthy leaves, they never actually really get better.
No.
Do you know what I mean? They regress.
Yeah.
You know, Wolves got worse. Ipswich got worse.
Sunderland
got worse. I mean, Ireland have got worse. Do you know what I mean? They can't win a game since he's left. You know? So, you know, he's always, for me, he's... People don't appreciate how good he is as a manager.
Did he ever go through you, Mike McCarthy?
He dug me out a few times. Yeah.
For what?
He dug just being a twat. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just dug me out. And
he never raised his voice much. It's just the way he spoke to you.
It was just the way he spoke.
Made you feel like you were a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And you knew you'd disappointed him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember we played against Liverpool and I thought I'd had a good game. When we were playing Liverpool, it was like Alonso, Mascherano, Gerrard in midfield and I thought I played all right. I probably touched the ball about 10 times. Do you know what I mean? But I thought I played all right. And I remember coming in on the Monday morning and I was sat in a TC, his little puppet comes in and knocks on the door, didn't he? Gaffer wants to see you. I was thinking, he'd come up. You know, I've only just signed. Walked in, he's got, you know, like the big, nothing worse, is it? You know, like the curtains are closed. Yeah. The big TV's out and the game's on. You know, and I sat there for 45 minutes and he was just going, what are you doing? Where you going? What you doing? And I'm like, Gaffer, it's Liverpool.
Would you say that back to him?
Yeah, I was like, Gaffer, we're playing against Liverpool. Like,
I've got chance, I'm playing against Mascherano and Gerrard. And he's like, no, not good enough. I said, you carry on with that. He's like, carry on with that, lad, you won't be here. So I've just signed. Just got that. Here. You just paid £5 million for me. Do you know what I mean? But he was straight to the point. Oh, yeah. You know, he just said it how it is. And I love that about him. Aye. You know, I like that about
the
him.
The managers are going now for the game, aren't they?
Aye. They're going there. Yeah. I think...
It's like a coach.
Well, you're not a manager anymore, are you? No. You're a head coach. Yeah. You know, like, then I love coaching and it's great. And I want to implement a philosophy and, you know, I want to... play 3-4-3 and play not like, you know, like how much time do you really get as a manager? If you don't go in and get results instantly, you're out the door.
But the players want that though now.
Well, players are weak, aren't they now? Mentally, like mentally they're weak. And, you know, I noticed that more and more, and I've gone into coaching, different, obviously non-league is, but you're still new young players that you're dealing with, like, I could tell you, you know, half time, you fucking prick. You best sort yourself out or you're fucking coming off.
Yep.
You say that now to a young lad at half time, he's gone.
He's a wreck, yeah.
He's gone. Like, he's got no chance, you know, like, and I just think, like, them, if Mick McCarthy dug me out, I'm going out in the second half and I'm snapping someone and I'm raising my game. Because I'm thinking, he's mugging me off, you know, like, digging me out in front of people. But you say that now to young lads, I just feel like that you lose them.
It's a personal attack.
Yeah, it's like it's personal, right. And like you lose the dressing room. You can't say that to him. You can't speak to him like that. You know, I threw a tactics board across the room. We got beat like in the last minute of a game. That centre half, you know, give the ball away, and like in the 93rd minute, when all you got to do is just put it in row Z, it gives the ball away. Guy comes in, lose the game 2-1. I've come in and I've slaughtered him. You know, like proper gone in, and he's a grown man for quite. Honestly, the guy wouldn't talk to me again.
Oh,
you know, like, wouldn't talk to me. Yeah. Like, he was just like, and he's a big guy. I mean, you could hit him with a brick ball. You could hit him with a brick wall and he'd stand there and talk, you know, but the biggest melt I've ever known. Like, and I'm like, have something about you, for Christ's sake.
Was Redknapp like that? Would Redknapp go through you?
Yeah, Redknapp dug a few out. He dug a few out.
Even the big boys?
Yeah, he dug Bow out.
Did he?
Oh, big time. He dug Bow out. In a couple of times, he'd bring you in, sit you down, you know, the whole team, and go you know, like he was.
Would anyone ever answer back? Or would
no, I think no one, because he had because we had a good side. Yeah. You know what I mean, I think he let us. You get away with quite a bit. Well, I mean, we had a Christmas party, didn't we? Like, he didn't like Christmas.
No, he hated that. He used to cancel them, didn't he?
So Harry, the big thing was like he hated a Christmas party. So we organised a Christmas party. Before Harry even knew that we was having a Christmas party.
Right.
Because we knew the questions were going to start coming about Christmas parties. So what he didn't realise was we'd already gone to Dublin on the Wednesday, I think at the weekend, and we'd had a proper big night out, a major one, you know, a proper sesh. And we've all flown back, and on the Thursday, we're in training. He does the press on the Thursday. No Christmas parties. My boys ain't doing that. Nothing. Well, news of the world. Sunday.
Oh, no.
We're all over the back pages of it. Christmas party has gone off. I mean, we are falling out of, I think there's some club in you know, what's it called? Crystal or something.
Crystal,
yeah. Crystal in Dublin, right? So we're all falling out of there. And I have never seen someone lose his shit as much
was this
as
on
this
Monday?
On the Monday. And I swear to God, this guy, he absolutely lost his mind. And you could, like, well, obviously when we've gone back in the dressing room, we've all just started pissing ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Because it's done, you know? But I loved Harry Redknapp. He was a good guy. He was one of them. He was old school manager. I mean, I'm dragging it on a bit, but I have a funny story about him. We went to Cheltenham on the Wednesday. We all flew there. Good day out with the boys and all that. We've come into train. We'd actually organised to go again on the Thursday, like Ladies' Day, right? Go there. It's a good day, and it's Gold Cup. So we go there on the Thursday. We put on the helicopters for the boys and all that. Jonathan Woodgate loves his betting. He's brought us in Thursday morning. We're training, playing Man United on the Saturday. And he's brought us in and he's gone, no one is going Cheltenham. I've heard that yous are going. No one's to be at Cheltenham on today. You're not going. Finished. We've trained. We've gone in. We're walking in as you do, the lads. What are we going to, Keno, Woody, we've got the helicopters on, we've got it all sorted, we've got it planned. Woody's gone, listen, let me go and have a chat. So he's gone into, he's knocked on the door, he's walked into Harry and he's like, he's, Woody, we're not going, it ain't happening. He said, look, Harry, he said, what about I put a chopper on for you and your family and you come, you can be in the box with us. And he's, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. Thursday, Cheltenham, we're there with Harry Redknapp.
That's brilliant.
Playing Man United on the Saturday.
He was racing post every morning.
He loved it. He say he loves it. Loved it. But yeah, he's a top guy. Top guy.
Amazing. And then Billy Ricky Town. What was it? World's Greatest? Have you seen that? The video?
Yeah, so I went there. Like, I come out of Big Brother, right? I come out of Big Brother.
Talk us about Big Brother first. What was that like?
Well, it was different. We're all probably ex-footballers now, right? So you go through that period of, shit, what am I doing? Right, you know, yeah. Like, no one's calling me. The phone's not picking up. I'm running out of dough. I've got to do something. They phoned me. They offered me a big fee and said, you know, would you do it? And I said, you know what? People think I'm a bit of a twat anyway.
Aye.
So I wanted to go on there. What do you mean, I?
I've always only spoke to you for an hour and a half a day now. That's what I came to conclusion, I can't
believe. Yeah, yeah. Like, but that's genuinely, like, people thought I was a bit of a bellend, right? So I thought, I've got to go on there and really, because I don't feel like I am. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I'd go on there and just kind of be myself and have a laugh and just see. And I needed the money. And, you know, it was a different experience, but it was kind of almost, it was similar to football, but different characters. You know, like when you go into a new dressing room, you got, it's all new characters, it's all new people, and you're just tossed in there, isn't there? Yep. And you've got to deal with it, right? Yeah. It was a bit like that on Big Brother. It's all new people just coming together in a room, and you've got to deal with them people for as long as possible. So I was comfortable in that situation because I'd been in dressing rooms and I'd been around different characters. So it kind of went well for me. It was hard because I was bored out of my face. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was boring.
Is it boring, eh?
So boring. You're just sitting around. You're not really doing anything. The only thing you can really do is crack on with birds.
Uh-huh.
You know, like...
Was the birds good then?
Well, yeah, there was a couple of nice sorts in there. Obviously,
you were in the hot tub, weren't you?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think Bianca Gascoigne was in there, who was a lovely girl. Ended up, you know, sort of kissing her and that a couple of times. And there was another girl, Jasmine Waller. She was obviously really a pretty girl. So I just wanted to have a laugh and enjoyed it. Ended up, you know, having a laugh with Bianca and that. And she found out she had a fella, do you know what I mean? So obviously when I come out, I've been that off. And but I enjoyed it. It was great. But it opened up different doors, media and stuff. But I wanted to get back into football. So when I come out, Glenn Tamplin, who was obviously taking over Billy Ricky, never heard of Billy Ricky, do you know what I mean? Like, but he was obviously pumping loads of money into it and non-league sort of thing and... Want you to be part of it. And I said, yeah, you know, he offered me some good money,
yeah,
and to go and play. And it was a good experience. We won a treble. You know, we had Jermaine Pennant playing. I mean, you can imagine, like, non-league.
Pennant funny?
Yeah, Pennant's a great lad, like a character. You know, Kev Foley. You know,
Kev Foley.
Yeah, like,
he's at Wolves.
He was at Wolves. Our team was Paul Konchesky, me, Kevin Foley, Jermaine Pennant. You know, it was filled with like League One players. So we had a great side, pumped loads of money into it. And he built something, Glenn, and he's off his rocker, right? Completely off.
What were you thinking the first time, obviously, you played in the Premier League and he says we're going to start singing this song? Think, fuck yes.
I just said, close your eyes and think of the money. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was funny because obviously it was the big one which went viral when everyone was looking at it was, me, I've got the captain's armband on, and I'm obviously like that, we're in a huddle, and I'm closing my eyes, thinking of the money, singing the world's greatest. But he thought it was, oh, look how passionate he is, he's singing the song, he means it. Look, that's, and I was like, yeah, really, I was just like, I couldn't look at anyone in the face, really. But he built something there, and he created a story, do you know what I mean, which was great, and I ended up becoming the manager. I was the assistant manager, which I really enjoyed, and then he phoned me and said, I'm getting rid of the manager, he's not good enough. I want you to be the manager. You know, he wanted to run the team and I coached the team. So I was like, yeah, like, you know, I'll do whatever you want to do. He's like, if you don't take it, I'll sack you. So I was like, oh, I'm obviously going to take it. So the next day, there was a big uproar about him getting rid of the manager and his son was part of the team and he wasn't ready to play. He was a good player and he got a bit of sticks and he left. And he was like, And I had a 15.
Took all the money?
Yeah, it took every penny. Was like, that's it, done. No money. We had a 15 grand a week wage bill and no one was going to get paid. So I've sat there, I've just took over. I'm all over TalkSport saying, yeah, you know, we're going to try and get the club into League Two. And, you know, it's the first job for me. I want to play nice football. And the players ain't coming if we ain't getting paid. So it was, I was just literally just putting out fires. Ended up, I mean, we got to the cup final and we finished the season, but all the best players left. And it was like, it was basically like going from Man United to, you know, Rangers, yeah. it was hard because everyone was looking in from the outside saying, what's Jamie doing? Because I take my coaching serious. I love my coaching, love being out on the field. But if you ain't got the players and you ain't got the money, you got no chance.
See, when that made you there, see when you done Big Brother, see now, do you feel maybe people won't appoint you as a coach because you've done stuff like that? Does that ever play in your mind, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, of course. But at that, yeah, 100%. You know, I looked at it and thought, I'm never going to go back to playing professional football because who's going to respect someone who's gone on Big Brother? But I thought to myself, I'd gone down a different path. Mentally, when I went on Big Brother, I didn't want to be part of football anymore.
Yeah,
I'd had enough of it.
Yep.
Like, I'm one of these people that if someone said to me, you've got to go and work in the city and, you know, be a broker or go and do recruitment, if I needed to do it, I'd do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not arsed. Like, football's been my life, but if I had to do something else to provide for my family, I'd go and do it. And at that point, I was done with football and I wanted to do something else. It's only when I went in there and I come out, I realised how much I loved football still and I wanted to get back into it. I knew I'd never get back playing professional, probably. Be very lucky. But I felt like if I'd not... I was getting asked to do, you know, what's it, celebs go dating and things like that. And I thought, if I want to be kind of respected again, it's going to take a long time. It might never get it back. But if you really concentrate on just being football-based, I think you can get it back because you've played in the Premier League, right? So, and if people can potentially take you seriously again in the future. And I think now, eventually it's turned, you know, because I've turned down all the silly business stuff, which is quick money, but there's no longevity.
Yeah, did the TalkSport thing come about then?
Just literally on the phone, like Jim White phoning me up, talking about Spurs and then they just like, I was just on the phone, giving an opinion and then it kind of just went from there, you know, and just done more and more. Then I'd come into the studio and, you know, I'd just have an opinion and people were obviously controversial, some of my opinions and that. I was just kind of saying it how it is, you know.
Well, that's the best way. It's better to be honest and be some, don't be false.
Well, I'm not going to be like Ali McCoist, you know.
Sit on the fence.
Just sit on the fence. Like, Ali McCoist can sit on the fence because he's a legend. Yeah, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have to say it. I'm not Roy Keane. I'm not Ali McCoist. Do you know what I mean? I have to say what I think. And I think people respect that, you know.
Who do you think's the best pundit?
The best pundit.
Jordan's very good, isn't he?
Simon Jordan's in a league.
Have you got his number?
No.
Have you not?
Nah.
I was going to ask him to message you. I would want a 1v1 with him.
What, one-on-one?
He would bury you.
No, I'm telling you, I will take him.
He wouldn't even...
Because I'm a different animal because I can just sort of fit into whatever I'm up. See, when I go to him, I'll wipe the flare with him.
I've no doubt.
Simon Jordan would eat you alive, mate. I promise you that, mate.
Would
Trust
you do that
me.
Live on air?
Live on air, I'll get him. And listen, out of my own wage, I'll pay him.
Listen, he wouldn't even sit in a room with you looking like that.
I'll get shooting.
You're
going to
get suited and booted?
For him.
100%. See, just on Chapman, because I think he's funny. That one obviously went viral, but was there other team talks and things that you would do? You'd think,
every week. Well, he'd come in like lions and tigers and, you know, he'd always be about... I mean, did you see that the stadium? He spent 150 grand on painting the walls in the dressing room, like with lions and chicken. There was a big chicken on it and said, do not enter if you're a chicken. And there's a hung chicken on the door. Like that was what it was, you know, like chickens and, you know, like and lions and all that, birds and eagle. He was like, you have to be, we had a big eagle in there. And you was only allowed in there if you was an eagle. If you were a chicken, you weren't allowed in the dressing room. So that was what I was dealing with. But it was a story, right? And it was hard. I used to sit there with Jermaine and Conch and be like, what are we doing?
Would he dig guys wrong? Like you do after the games and that? No,
mate, he used to put me on the bench.
Really?
I would sit on the Judy, like, and I was sat there all the time. And I was like, I'm sitting on the bench for Billericay. Where has it all gone wrong? Like, what is going on? But he wasn't afraid. Like, he wanted to be successful.
Yeah.
But he obviously had, you know, mental problems and it wasn't right for him to own a football club. He was too emotional. You can't be emotional when you're like that.
You were a bit vocal in Pep, weren't you? After the Champions League final.
Well, he had an he killed the team, didn't he? I mean, he absolutely buried Man City. I mean, that was there for them for the take. I know Chelsea are a good side and that, but they were there for the taking. It was the stars were aligned for Man City to win their first Champions League.
Why do you think he's done it? Do you think Chelsea beat them twice?
What was that team like? He melted,
Didn't he overthinks team selections? Well, like when it comes, like when you're
the
when
team picks itself.
I know.
Yeah, not playing Fernandinho, your captain. Like,
how can you not? I mean, 59 out of 60 games he played that season.
I know.
He played either Fernandinho or Rodri. And then in the Champions League final, we don't play him. It was just.
Have you ever had a manager pull you up for something you said or a player?
What do you mean?
Never phoned the radio after something you've said on TalkSport.
You've had a few slaying, haven't you?
With a few people,
maybe. Yeah.
Sometimes when you know you don't go and think I'm going to slaughter them. Sometimes it just comes out naturally, doesn't it?
Yeah, you get carried away and like you obviously just want to be honest. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You have to obviously be careful. I've had a few people, like I think Grealish told Gabby to tell me to pipe down. And,
did he?
Brilliant. You know, I was obviously when he's drinking and stuff and getting caught, you know, and I've been through that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just giving you more, you know, don't make the same mistakes that I made, you know, like you've got it all at your feet. And if they don't like that, then obviously you've got to expect people to say something because we've experienced it. We've been there. I've fallen out of nightclubs. Do you know what I mean? I've come out with lipstick on my face looking like a dick. You know, like you don't want to see other people make their mistakes.
Yeah. So, that's it.
Thanks for coming up.
We'll clap at it.
That was easy.
Enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
I can boogie if I need a certain song. I can boogie, boogie, boogie all night long.
Don't you
know? I like it!
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to radiobeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's radiobeats.com, code DEAL.